It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Tomorrow on the CMU campus, the documentary Standardized, Lies, Money, and Civil Rights is showing on the CMU campus at McConomy Hall. The topic is standardized tests for grade school children. Here's a clip.
It's been over a decade now since Congress passed the No Child Left Behind Act and ushered in this so-called era of high-stakes testing. And certainly what I've seen over that time period is that there's been a lot of private discontent, but never enough to generate sufficient public noise that could impact policy. But I think beginning with the election of Barack Obama and now subsequent re-election, and the disappointment that a lot of his education policies continued to rely on standardized tests, I think what we're seeing is that from the Pacific Northwest to the Lone Star State, there is a groundswell of educators who are now publicly saying enough is enough.
And one of those educators is Dan Hornberger, who has been a high school English teacher for over 20 years. His concerns regarding schools teaching to the test spurred him to action. The result is the documentary you just heard a clip from. Again, it's called Standardized, Lies, Money, and Civil Rights. And Mr. Hornberger produced and co-directed it. He joins us by phone from the Philadelphia area. Dan Hornberger, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
And if you have a comment or a question for our guest, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, ESSPGH at WESA.FM. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. Where do you stand on standardized testing? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Dan Hornberger, why did you end up making this documentary?
Well, Paul, I think it just turned out that I was just fed up with the emphasis that public education was placing on these tests and how ridiculous they were. Kids are asked, what started was the writing element of the testing. You know, kids were asked to write an essay response in a certain amount of time on a topic that they didn't care about. And then they're told if they're good writers or not. Well, that's not how writing works. And I think you know that, certainly. Writing is a process. It takes several drafts to get through things. Well, what the kids are doing is submitting first drafts. And then I read a book by Todd Farley called Making the Grades. And Todd Farley writes about his experience in grading these tests in Iowa. And it turns out that the whole thing is basically a scam. So then I really got fired up about it and talked to a friend of mine, and we decided to forge ahead and make this documentary.
And so as a teacher, when did you start having problems with standardized tests? At what point in your 20-year tenure did you say, we need to rethink this?
Well, you know, when I started, there didn't seem to be too much of an emphasis on these tests. And I think if you remember, I don't know, you grew up in Midwest, I think I read. Did you take the Iowa tests when you were younger?
Well, actually, I grew up here and did take the, all the standard college entrance exam, the PSAT, the SAT.
SATs, right.
And also,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
And, we take these tests and we don't really question why we're taking them. You know, the SATs, I have an issue with them. Kids go through kindergarten through 10th or 11th grade. And then we trust that this company is going to make this test that evaluates if they're going to be successful in college or not. I have a problem with that. So, when we were growing up, we took one or two tests maybe. But along comes NCLB and Race to the Top, and we get more and more and more tests. Up to the point where state of Pennsylvania now, if they have their way, they're going to be implementing maybe a dozen Keystone exams on secondary high school students. And to me, that's a terrible crime.
Who is your target audience here?
Moms.
Moms.
Quite frankly, mothers. Mothers of kids. We talked about, who we wanted to reach, who's going to be able to make a change. And we felt that it's the mothers. Because if they speak up loud enough, then maybe the administrators, the politicians will start to listen. And there had been a big movement in Long Island called the opt-out movement. where the parents were getting involved and opting their kids out of these tests. So we started to investigate, and our first shoot was actually down in D.C. in front of the Department of Education back in April. That was the second United opt-out rally. And I went down there and shot some of the speeches that were delivered that day and made a lot of connections with the folks who organized and run the United opt-out movement.
So let me ask you this. If you don't have standardized tests,
oh, here it comes.
What all other right, ways right. You were anticipating this question. Well, but in all honesty, what other ways are there to assess where kids are? Don't colleges and don't educators need to have some mile markers to gauge where a child is, what knowledge they are retaining, and what their potential is, whether they are in fact college material?
Well, I think that's why I was hired, right? I was hired as a teacher to assess where kids are, to push them and challenge them, and then to evaluate where they are. But then the state governments, the government comes in and says, well, you know, we need to have gauges too. But unfortunately, their assessments are invalid. Years ago, and I don't know if you know about this, but there's an association called the Middle States Association of Secondary Schools. And what they used to do is they would come into schools and work collaboratively with the schools and assess what the schools are doing, what the schools are providing, and then work with the schools to improve the situation, improve the environment. And that seems to have gone by the wayside because many years ago, schools were saying that it was too expensive to go through this process. Well, when you look at that expense, and you match it up against the expense of standardized testing, it's pennies compared to the testing industry. And to me, that works much better when you have a collaborative effort to improve schools, not this one-shot test score that apparently is going to tell us if a school is successful or not.
We're talking with Dan Hornberger, veteran teacher and a documentary maker, a producer and co-director of the documentary Standardized, Lies, Money, and Civil Rights. If you have a comment or question for him, 412-246-2002. Let's go to Lois, a parent in Scenery Hill. Lois, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I wanted to comment, you have a mother here that agrees with you, and I have four children, and they go to a very small private school until fifth grade. So my oldest is now in the local public school. I have a history of a family of teachers. I have nothing against public schools, but I do have a lot against standardized testing. My oldest son now is up to almost an hour a day studying for these tests. They don't go outside. They could be using that hour perhaps to study maybe a subject that they're having difficulty in, or learning something about the world, per se, instead of studying for the test. I also have a small performing arts studio, and I can't tell you how many students come in and are nervous about these tests because they have to do good so that their school gets a good grade. I believe that I agree with your comment as far as teachers were made to teach, and that should also be the evaluation. That was the purpose of it, and all you need to do is look at your students' grades.
Well, Lois, and you make certainly some good points there. And you know, Dan, has this been typical of the reaction that you've received to the to your documentary?
Yeah, it's been predominantly positive reviews. That and parents, the thing is, parents just don't know, you know, and that's the purpose of the film, to educate them, to say, you know, this is what's going on, this is why the tests are invalid. Paul, you mentioned earlier that this was directed toward, you know, elementary kids. It's actually K through 12, because in a lot of elementary schools, they're cutting recess, they're cutting music, they're cutting art, so that the kids can have test prep. To me, that's a crime.
Now, there has been some criticism leveled at you as having an axe to grind.
I welcome any debate, and you know what I get really leery of is you know, are people that hang their hat on test scores. The test scores mean nothing. They really don't. And your caller mentioned it earlier. No one will ask these kids what on their Keystone exams or their PSSAs in the future. A test is supposed to measure what a kid knows, and a test is supposed to be a tool that a kid can learn from.
Well, that's the other part of your a point that you make in the documentary, that the kids don't oftentimes find out what the results of the tests are, don't know how well they did, so therefore they're kind of flying blind that way. Let's go to another caller. We have Chris in Coriopolis. Chris, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I just really appreciate this topic because my son just came home with a memo about the PSSA test. And when I went and met with his teacher in September, her entire curriculum was based on what they were going to be tested on PSSA. And now he's going to spend 6 to 8 weeks in school preparing for the PSSAs instead of just learning. My son is very bright, and I can tell his teacher is a great teacher because he's learning and his weaknesses are being dealt with successfully. And to me, you know, that's my job as a parent, is to make sure that my child is doing well and my school is doing well. It's not up to a test, and it just takes so much time away from his instruction.
Dan, is that is something that's typical of what you've heard from parents?
Yeah, she's going to love the movie. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I've been hearing. And I'll tell you what, the wave is growing. Parents are starting to really look into what the kids are being forced to do. And the test prep is a waste of time. It really is. The opt-out movement continues to grow.
Let's go to Patrick in Pittsburgh, who has a comment. Patrick, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, Senator. Well, my comment is that I really think that the test scores are directly proportional to socioeconomic status. Higher income, higher test scores for the family.
Would you agree with that, Dan?
I really couldn't hear him. I'm sorry.
He said that Patrick's comment was that the test scores are proportional to socioeconomic status. Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, they tell us what we already know. Well, the kids who come from a higher socioeconomic background are going to do better. What a shocker. You know, so do we really need the test to show us that? No.
A couple of Twitter comments. Pamela on Twitter says, I opted out last year and again this year. Thanks for informing the public about the overuse and misuse of testing. And also, my fifth grader is taking 24 standardized tests. Wow. Testing is not teaching. I trust teachers and to observe and assess my kids. That was another comment on Twitter. And we've been talking with Dan Hornberger. He is the producer and co-director of the documentary Standardized: Lies, Money, and Civil Rights. It's showing tomorrow at 5:30 on the CMU campus in Meconomy Auditorium. Doors open at 5 o'clock with a Q&A with the director to follow. Dan Hornberger, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Essential Pittsburgh.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot, Paul.
And now to a school that is not teaching to the test. In a recent series on education, the Harrisburg Patriot News featured Hampton High School. It's only one of three schools statewide consistently performing well in math and science. So what's their secret? I'm joined now in studio by Hampton High School Principal Jeffrey Finch. Jeffrey Finch, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
So what is your secret?
I think to give a short answer to that question, it's balance. With a focus on the big purpose of school in general, and that is to provide a quality, holistic program that focuses on a student's ability to grow in an educational system that builds retention for the things we spend time on.
Talk about the demographics of your high school, the percentage of kids who are in poverty, and how that factors into your approach.
Well, it would certainly play into that notion of a socioeconomic comparison to the level of performance. Hampton's a unique school district in that it's only 16 square miles, a suburban community of Pittsburgh, socioeconomically a relatively wealthy community and school district, comparatively speaking, across the state.
And when did you determine that it wasn't necessarily important to teach to the test, that you needed to determine your own priorities for yourself and not necessarily be told what those priorities should be?
I don't want it to be taken the wrong way. You know, I started by saying it's about balance. We don't underestimate the potential that some of the testing has to serve us some benefit. There's a lot more to understanding the full scope of data that can come from these standards-based assessments than just the reporting number of comparative rank. Within it is what we would call formative data for a whole system to look at areas that can give us insights to strengths and weaknesses. When we say that we don't think it's important to teach to the test, it's back to the idea of balance. We look at meeting our students where they need to be met. We look at developing a system that builds students as learners, not just achievers of today's fact or need. And then we look at the standards-based assessments as a tool to give us one angle of a picture. There is valuable data inside that. I wouldn't hang my hat on our score results. I'm proud of the fact that when given the comparison across the state, it makes us look good. But I think it's only a sample of the overall quality that our district offers across the board.
One of the things that we hear about in the documentary, and we've heard it elsewhere, is that there so much time is spent, and you heard Dan Hornberger bring it up, so much time is spent for children to work on and prepare for testing that it is done at the expense of things that inspire them and bring joy to their learning, the arts, athletics, that type of thing. And there's even a comment in this in the documentary where I believe it's one of the educators, it's actually a teacher who says this is, he calls it, quote unquote, child abuse. With regard to that issue, how is it handled at Hampton? You know, when you say the goal, that the thing that you're proud of is achieving balance, how do you do that? How do you set up your day so that everybody's happy with the time spent on different things?
Idealistically, I'd like to answer by saying kids first. You know, what does it mean and what does the student need to grow as a learner through a system? So time is a pressing issue for everyone. I, too, wish we had more time. And there are moments where I cringe at the thought of the realignment of the day's schedule or weeks of schedules to facilitate the standards-based assessments. So you do see a crunch in time, but you see it through so many things. You know, my response isn't the debate on whether or not that's on my plate right now. I accept in my job that is on my plate. It's a part of our system, and I'm obligated to fulfill the standards-based assessment effort. I guess, you know, if I looked at it from one angle, I can give you a lot of my concerns and potential flaws. But when I look at it as something we need to work with, I look more through the lens of, well, how can it benefit our program in school? So we try to integrate the testing into the flow of the school program. We try to capitalize on a bit of the accountability that comes with it to ramp up, you know, a basic educational saying way back in a model was raise the level of concern. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, you know, here is one measure. The letter we send to parents, we tell them that here are your child's standards-based assessment results. Please keep in mind that this is only one measure of how he or she is doing in school, that measure of success. And when we compartmentalize on it, yet capitalize on its effort, I think we look for solutions more than problems.
What's the positive feedback that you're hearing from parents?
Well, you know, it's a little bit unfair. I don't want to broadcast out there that it's all great. I have an unfair advantage. You know, in my mind, the learning process in a school is truly a community effort. And we are, in part, we're a contributor and a product of the holistic community there in Hampton Township. Students come to school with an anticipation of success. They come there with the expectation to give effort. So, you know, when we put a test in front of our students, it is normal to the culture that they don't want to fail. So what does it take to not fail? Well, you have to understand the measure. So when we get the results of a test, it's a point of pride, like any other measure of success that we have, to say through genuine effort, through attention to the qualities of it, we're giving it a good go, and we have results to show that the effort's behind it.
We've been talking with Hampton High School Principal Jeffrey Finch. Hampton High School, cited by the Harrisburg Patriot News as one of only three schools statewide consistently performing well in math and science. Jeffrey Finch, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, on the big dance that is March Madness. It's a Central Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.